New data from Industry Super Australia suggests that as many as 400,000 young Australians have completely wiped out their retirement savings during the COVID crisis. 15% of workers have availed themselves of the federal government's early release of super scheme. And as of yesterday, many are eligible to withdraw another $10,000, raising the prospect of years of work to restore balances. The sector says the government must commit to raising the super guarantee levy from next year so that workers can rebuild their savings. Greg Combe is a former union leader and Labor minister. He now chairs Industry Super Australia. Welcome to Breakfast.
Hi, Geraldine. How are you?
Good, good. Look, in total, 2.1 million people, these numbers are extraordinary, in financial distress, have tapped their super, to the tune of $15 billion in total, and the scheme has another 3 months to run. Did the sector expect such a rush of withdrawals?
Oh, it was very hard to predict exactly how many people would withdraw how much money, but after the first round of $10,000 withdrawals, you know, it certainly raises some concerns. And as you'd be aware, I think yesterday, at least part of the reason the ATO website crashed is that lots more people are rushing to take out a second round of $10,000. And you're quite right in your comments. That means for a lot of people under 35 years old, 400,000 people under 35 years of age appear to have completely wiped out their super account so far, and there could well be a lot more.
Do you judge that it has done irreparable damage to the whole purpose of super, compulsory super, that it's forced savings locked away for retirement to relieve the burden on the aged pension? Not that we are doing that yet, by the way.
Oh, well, we are relieving the burden on the aged pension.
Not much.
Of course, this is an intergenerational issue, but you're quite right. The purpose of the superannuation system when it was established 30-odd years ago was to have a tax-advantaged form of savings so that in retirement you'd have a better standard of living. And crucial to that is the preservation of the contributions that are made into your superannuation account. This is a really significant policy change, this early access to super. We've not been critical of it to the extent that these are unprecedented circumstances, as we all know. We're in the midst of a pandemic and a lot of people are experiencing hardship. And so we've worked as best we can with this policy initiative to enable people to withdraw $10,000, but it's been put together fairly hurriedly. And as we've now learnt, it's been a self-assessment process as to whether you're in hardship. And
so I see. You've still got to argue for it then, do you? You can't just put your hand up and say, I want it.
Well, you go onto the ATO website and essentially self-assess that you qualify for the early release of your superannuation and make the application. And, of course, the ATO is inundated with the number of people making applications. It's very hard to check. And some figures have come out, of course, demonstrating that pretty highly discretionary expenditure has been involved in spending this money.
Except it's not clear how much that's true, is it? I mean, there's sort of, you know, talk that's gone on gambling and on this and that and the other, but then others say, no, it's not. That's a very small amount.
Well, I don't know, Geraldine, and I don't think any of us really know with any certainty about that, but we're certainly hopeful that in this second round of withdrawals, the ATO's capacity to have a careful look, certainly prevent fraud, because there has been some experience of it, but have a careful look at the eligibility of those who are applying and match it with other ATO
right.
Data will lead to it being more carefully monitored. But people are in hardship, you know, I have to emphasise that. However, it's going to have a very big impact on the super savings of a lot of people, particularly young people and women, low-income earners, and it's going to be very, very tough to make it up.
I just wonder whether you wish now you'd put up more of a resistance when the early release scheme was first mooted back in March. And I did an interview on Saturday Extra with, I think, a man from the Melbourne Business School proposing almost like a borrowing. It would have been more complicated that actually people sort of notionally borrowed against their, almost like a HEC scheme, borrowed against their super and then paid it back gradually. It would have involved the ATO. It would would have been more complicated, but they wouldn't have reduced their sums the way this is happening.
Well, we carefully thought about it at the time, and I must say I've got some sympathy for the government. When you're going into circumstances like this, this is back in February, we didn't know where we would end up as a country in this pandemic at that time, and the extent of the spread of the virus. And it was very clear, though, that millions of people would be very harshly affected. And so, as well as putting things like the JobSeeker and JobKeeper packages into place, which are huge Commonwealth commitments of expenditure, the government looked for other ways to alleviate some of the hardship, and this is one of the means they came up with. We didn't want to oppose that at the time, given the circumstances we're in, but we've certainly monitored it very carefully and have tried to raise the issues and inform people about the risks for them, because what anything like this does is push the burden of a better standard of living in retirement off to future generations, future taxpayers, and will reduce people's standard of living in retirement as well. They'll have to rely upon the age pension more than otherwise they would have done.
I mean, the sector says it's now more important than ever that the government sticks to its promise to start lifting compulsory super employer contributions from 9.5% to 12%. Do you fear that the government will lose its appetite for this particular reform post-COVID?
Well, the super guarantee increase that's due from 9.5% to 12% has been put off for years and years and years, actually probably decades. Over the last 18 years, the super guarantee has only risen from 9% to 9.5%. John Howard deferred the increases and then Tony Abbott deferred the increases. Productivity's improved over all of that time, but wages have been sluggish, so people are not getting their fair share of productivity improvements in the economy. And, you know, they're not saving for their retirement at the rate that was anticipated many years ago. So it is very important that we do go ahead with these rises. They've been legislated, promised numerous times, but they are law and they should go ahead.
Can I just play you something from the Australian Small Business Ombudsman, Kate Carnell, speaking to AM on Tuesday, just laying out very carefully how she thinks businesses feel, particularly during this COVID crisis, about the notion of extra compulsory payments.
Remember, a 2.5% increase in super is just a 2.5% wage increase from a small business or a business perspective. And I tell you what, there won't be too many small businesses who will be in a position to afford a 2.5% across the board increase in wages over the next 12 or 18 months.
Do you have any sympathy with that view?
I mean, no disrespect to it, but half a percent increase is due in 12 months' time, and then the additional half percent increases take place over the period to 2025. Every time these increases come along, you hear that argument, and I don't disrespect it. I understand it, particularly given the current economic circumstances, but it's spread over the next 5 years. I mean, we've just had a minimum wage rise awarded by the Fair Work Commission. It is affordable. When you think about what we're actually talking about, the next increase in the super guarantee for a lot of part-time and casual workers is about $3 to $4 per week in additional contributions. For someone on $50,000 a year, it's about $5 a week extra in contributions, and someone on full-time average earnings of around $80,000, it's about $8 a week. So it's an affordable rise, and I certainly hope that we're well on the path to a better economic outlook for lots of small and medium-sized businesses in 12 months' time too.
We're about to see you front an ad campaign showing that Industry Super is prepared to spend $19.5 billion on infrastructure over the next 3 years, which you say will create an anticipated 200,000 jobs. Dare I say, you know, is this a sort of small... Is there any sense that if you don't get this extra flow through, that Industry Super might not follow through on these sorts of plans?
Oh, no, these are our current plans, and we intend making those investments. And many of them, Geraldine, are capital expenditure programs at assets that we already own in infrastructure and property throughout the country. The industry funds are the largest infrastructure owners and operators in Australia now, and very significant investors in commercial property too. So that's a pretty conservative estimate on our part, but it does highlight one other aspect to the superannuation system that's extremely important. The size of the savings overall are about 150% the size of our annual economy, our annual GDP. And all of the superannuation funds around the country are big investors in the Australian economy and big contributors to jobs growth, investors in every market.
And startups as well, according to what I read the other
day. Yes. You know, that's absolutely right. We're supporting startups, we're in private equity, in infrastructure, in commercial property, in residential housing, affordable housing, aged care, you know, the stock exchange, the debt markets, liquidity provision to the banks. This is really important for the Australian economy. In fact, it's now turned Australia from its since colonisation, Australia's been a capital importing country, and so repatriating interest and dividends and the like overseas. We're now a capital exporting country, so our current account has improved remarkably as a result. It is the super system is a great achievement. I wish that it would be universally seen as such, certainly by both sides of politics, and it's immense contributor to the economy, our productivity and our jobs growth, and it's got a big role to play in the economic recovery from the pandemic.
All right. We may have you back to talk, if you would, about your role on the National COVID-19 Coordination Commission, which I know you haven't been particularly ready to talk about, but I think people would be very interested. So that's a standing invitation, okay?
Good, no problem.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Geraldine, bye-bye.
Greg Combey now chairs Industry Super Australia, and you'll start seeing him on an ad campaign soon.